Congress tangles over healthcare's benefits and costs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A new report paid for by the insurance industry claims that the reform bill advancing in the Senate could drive up the costs of a typical family's health insurance by as much as $4,000 a year. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports Democrats in the White House are attacking the report as inaccurate and disingenuous, but it could slow the momentum for health care reform.
For months, there's been an uneasy truce between the health insurance lobby and the White House over reform. Insurers even aired this pro-reform ad this summer.
If everyone's covered, we can make health care as affordable as possible. And the words pre-existing condition become a thing of the past.
Health insurance companies are pushing for new rules that would force everyone to buy insurance or get hit with a big fine. The Senate was worried about imposing significant fines, but without that kind of penalty, insurers argue millions of healthy people won't buy insurance at all, and the costs for everyone else could go up. Democrats called the insurance industry study flawed, disingenuous, and just plain wrong. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
This is going to be a huge week for checking in with America's big banks. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Bank of America all report quarterly earnings over the next 5 days. Meanwhile, a big earnings report is making news in Europe. European stocks are up almost 1.5% after the continent's biggest consumer electronics company, Royal Philips Electronics, showed a better-than-expected profit in the third quarter. Earlier today, Asian markets were mixed, and Wall Street's coming off its best week in more than 2 months. Both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ shot up 4.5% on the week. The Dow closed on Friday at 9,864, and that is its highest close of 2009. The British government will announce a plan to cut the UK's massive budget deficit. The first step would involve selling off state-owned assets worth around $25 billion. But the plan has already been widely criticized as inadequate and perhaps politically motivated. Let's bring in Marketplace's Stephen Beard from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bill.
So what is the UK government planning to sell?
A ragbag of publicly owned assets, including the government share in the Channel Tunnel rail link between the UK and France. There's a stake in a nuclear firm which enriches uranium, plus some real estate, raising, as you say, a total of $25 billion over the next 2 years to reduce the budget deficit.
Okay, $25 billion ragbag. And how does that compare to the UK deficit?
Well, that's the problem. It is one of the worst in the developed world. It's rapidly approaching $280 billion. As a percentage of the UK's GDP, that's expected to be worse even than the US budget deficit. Critics say $25 billion is just a drop in the ocean, and it's a one-off. You reduce the deficit by that amount in year one, but it doesn't reduce the deficit in the following years.
Okay, and real quickly, Stephen, any other interesting reaction to this little sell-off?
Well, generally, it's been rather negative. I mean, the government is described here as reacting in a desperate fashion. It's sort of threshing about. It's way behind in the opinion polls. It faces a general election next year. And the main opposition Conservative Party has just unveiled plans to tackle the deficit with deep cuts in public spending, cut in certain benefits, a pay freeze for civil servants and so on. And they've got a lot of credit for doing that, for spelling out what could be a rather unpopular policy before the election. Now, commentators are saying that the government is hoping to show that it can cut the deficit less painfully, with less damage to Britain's welfare state.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us live from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at SunGard.com.
This is Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Toyota cannot seem to make up its mind about where it wants to build the Prius. Right now, the hybrids are built in Japan, but there's been talk of building the Prius in the U.S. Marketplace's Elisa Roth says with the yen at all-time highs against the dollar, the idea is sounding more practical every day.
Let's say the dollar is weak, like it is right now. You may not care that your Prius is made in Japan, but when you buy it with dollars, Toyota makes less money because those dollars are worth less when the company converts them back to yen. David Solon is a consultant at Foreign Exchange Analytics, and he says the way car makers get around that currency risk is to set up shop over here.
The bottom line is that the more dollars that they expect to take in, the more exposure they have by not manufacturing in the U.S.
But currencies can be weak one day and strong the next, and getting a plant going can take months or even years. John Casessa is an auto industry consultant, and he says a company can't just start producing cars in another country on the fly.
So the company's got to take a view that trends in the currency market will persist for some period of time, for years.
Casessa says the exchange rate isn't the only thing companies consider when they think about where to build plants. They also look at things like demand, shipping costs, and a market's potential to grow. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
In other news, today the Nobel Prize in Economics is due out this morning. A couple of the candidates mentioned as frontrunners are behavioral economists. These are people who study the ways you and I defy the economic theories and act like human beings. And finally, just as Twitter is trying to cash in on its popularity, it suffers a pop culture blow. Hannah Montana star Miley Cyrus just put out a video called No More Twitter, where she says goodbye to her 2 million online followers.
And the reason's just simple. I started tweeting about pimples. I stopped living for moments and started living for people.
Started tweeting about pimples. At one point, Cyrus says about Twitter, quote, "You write what you're doing, but who really cares?" That hurts. You're listening to Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.